Welcome to Scots Church this Communion Sunday. Let us commence our worship with these words of Jesus in John's Gospel. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen, and thanks be to God. Please be seated. Magnificent voice. And now let's see what we can do as we stand and sing our first hymn, And Can It Be That I Should Gain?
Oh,
seated. Well, once again, thanks for joining us, either in person or via YouTube this morning. Perhaps I should say straight off, are there any visitors from Argentina here this morning? Or people who can claim some Argentinian heritage in their family tree? Any hands up? Then I guess we're all weeping with those who weep. Well done to that team anyway, our team. Now, if you are new to Scots, please introduce yourself on the card that you hopefully will find near your seat. You can leave it at the foyer, or you can scan the QR code if you're IT savvy and give your details so that we can keep in touch. And afterwards, I'm looking for our medical advisor here. We're still having a cup of tea upside. Okay. However, if you do want to be on the safe side, please, you might want to consider wearing your mask in the enclosed spaces. Now, the dates for the Christmas, you'll see on the back of your order of service. I hope you're able to attend to some at least of those, and certainly spread the word to friends and neighbours. There's an evening service also this evening in the Werner Brodbeck Hall, just next door here at 5 p.m. That will also be a communion service. And both this morning and this evening, we will have our guest preacher, Reverend Mike Rater, preaching with us again. Mike's preaching on the fruit of the Spirit. And this time, the topic is gentleness. Now, for those who might be very sharp-eyed, and had a good look through the order of service, you may have noticed that when we get to Holy Communion, we don't have the words of the Apostles' Creed in there. That's my oversight in proofing the order of service when it came through late last week. That's something I should have picked up. It's not deliberate, but this time we won't be standing and saying that together. But if you know the words of the Apostles' Creed, when we come to the Holy Communion and the elements are being served, then feel free to say it to yourself in your heart. And I apologise for that. So now let us stand once again and sing, this time, "Come, Let Us to the Lord Our God."
Yeah.
seated. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the eternal God of mercy and grace. As we prepare our hearts and minds to receive the blessing of the Holy Sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we thank you and praise you. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son into this world of trouble and strife. Thank you that even in the darkest of darkness, in the deepest depths of desolation, there is hope, there is redemption, there is peace that passes all understanding, because you have given us the Word of God. In him is life, and that life shines as light in the darkness. Thank you that the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus and dwelt among us in his full humanity, and dwells among and within us even now in the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us our sin, our failures to love you in all of our all, and our failures to love and treat others as fellow image bearers of you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may better reflect our Lord Jesus in all we do and say. And hear us now as we continue to pray in the words he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
If you're part of the Scots Church family and you're not already giving electronically, well, this is your opportunity to join us in financial partnership. And if you're visiting us today, please feel no obligation to contribute, be our guest. So let's stand as we sing the offertory hymn, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts.
Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. God of love, mercy, and grace, we humble ourselves before you, praise your name, and give you thanks for leading us to this place to worship you in spirit and truth. As we enter the second Sunday of Advent, we rejoice greatly for Jesus, that he was prepared before the foundation of the world to be slain for our sins and the world's sins. We thank you that through Jesus, we don't have to struggle under the heavy burden of sin, for Christ came to take our burden upon himself and to give us his easy yoke. Loving God, thank you that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have been forgiven, renewed, restored, and reconciled to you. Help us to come to you and learn from Christ's gentle and humble heart. And thank you for inviting us to share our burdens with you and depend on you. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, we ask that you would purify our hearts, minds, and souls, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name. Holy Spirit of God, bless your church in this place, in our city, country, and beyond. We pray for our church leaders, our senior minister, Reverend Philip Campbell, the Scott City team, the ministry team, Session Clerk, Rosalie's daughter, our Deputy Session Clerk, Rosemary Fetters, and our guest preacher, Reverend Mike Reiter, Reverend Phil Court, the elders, pastoral care team, the prayer team, Scots Choir members, music director, staff and volunteers. Loving God, that you would fill them with patience, peace and joy for their work, remembering you are with them even when the work is hard, for you are faithful to equip those who obey your call. We pray for speedy and full recovery for those experiencing ill health. We remember our dear friends, Bruce and Valerie Evans' daughter-in-law, Catherine, who underwent surgery today. We pray for successful surgery, that you would bless and guide the surgeon and doctors and nurses with your wisdom, that they might work with care and skill, and that you would bless Catherine, her husband Andrew, and their beautiful little children, and as well as Bruce and Valerie, with strength, peace of mind, and faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for our senior minister, Reverend Philip Campbell, and his wife, Louise, who are currently on annual leave. May they continue to be blessed with a safe and enjoyable holiday. We pray for our country, that our country will grow in God's grace and peace. We pray for our nation's leaders, the federal, state, and local governments, including our police services and all who enforce the laws. We remember our Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, our Victorian Prime Minister Daniel Andrews, and as well as the newly elected leaders of Victoria. And we ask that God bless our leaders with wisdom, a servant's heart, and a desire for justice and honesty. May all the decision-making be guided by the Holy Spirit of God for the benefit of all of us. And now, generous God, we pray for our tithes and offerings. We know that all we have is yours. Loving God, save us from the delusion of believing it ours. Save us from our possessiveness, that your grace may abound in all things at all times. We ask these things through your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ and Savior. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. And the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. For I have bent Judah as my bow, I have made Ephraim its arrow. I will stir up your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and wield you like a warrior's sword.
Thank you.
The New Testament reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 30. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. May God add his blessing to this, the reading of his word.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are here with us by your word and your spirit. So please open our minds, our hearts, and our ears to hear you speak this morning, that we might please you and bless others in all we say and do, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've spent most of my working life teaching in various theological colleges. I've not spent much time working on the pastor staff of a church as a minister. About 30 years ago, I had a year working as the associate pastor of a church in Sydney. They called them back then the curate, the one responsible for the cure of souls. And one evening, we had the monthly church council meeting. And the pastor, as a kind of warm-up activity, said to us, turn to the person on your right and describe that person in one word. Well, to my left was Tim. I waited with bated breath. Dynamic. Charismatic. Teacher. Yes, I began my working life as a high school teacher. I taught for 25 years in Bible colleges. Today, I teach and train preachers. So that was, yes, that's my profession. But that wasn't the question. It wasn't describe their job in one word. That's easy. Describe a job. He, she's a farmer, pharmacist, homemaker, doctor. That's easy. Describe the person in one word. What's their essential characteristic? That's tough, isn't it? Tim didn't know me all that well, and people are complex. I couldn't describe myself in one or two words. Let's try that over morning tea. Describe the one next to you in one word and see if you stay friends. How do you describe Jesus in one word or two? What's his essential characteristic? In the Gospels, he calls himself many things, all pictures. I am the door, the bread of life, the vine, the way to God. But again, that's all he does. That's what he does. What's his essential characteristic? Well, actually, he tells us. He says, I am gentle and lowly. My essential characteristic is gentleness. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're spending 3 weeks on three of the fruit of the Spirit. This week, gentleness. Now, as I thought about the fruit, it seems to me they kind of overlap. It's hard to make sharp distinctions between them. The first is love, and I think all the rest are just expressions of love. We saw last week patience, but someone who's patient is also full of kindness and goodness and gentleness. It's hard, I think, to distinguish them between them too much. Maybe with joy you can. I think you can be patient and kind and gentle and sad. I think there's lots of sad Christians. But that's next week. I want to think about gentleness. As I said last week, all these fruit have their foundation in God. Our God is a gentle God. And we know that because, as John says in his prologue to his gospel, no one has seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God, has made him known. Look at Jesus and see God. And we see this look at the end of chapter 11. It begins the famous invitation, come to me all. That's been the invitation for 2,000 years from Paul to Billy Graham, come to Jesus, all. It's both universal, global, and particular. Come to me all. I'll shut no one out who comes to Jesus. The door to our church is open all the time on Sunday morning. For those on Russell Street, come on in, open to all. It's general. But also it's particular. It's for a particular kind of person. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. One criticism of the Christian faith is that it's a crutch. It's a crutch for cripples, for those who can't cope, those who are just kind of pathetic, who haven't got the gumption to stand up and be a man, be a woman. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I think it's one criticism that is spot on. Jesus is a crutch for cripples. A hospital for the sick. A bed for the exhausted. Water for the parched. For those for whom the juice of life has run out and all that's left is the rind. For those who find life empty, disappointing, frustrating, hard. For those, at the end of the day, who are just plain tired. Just this week, a man rang me. I don't know him. He said he came to my church 2 weeks ago. I don't recall meeting him, but he rang me out of the blue. He got my number, rang out of the blue. In his 70s, with a son who's very sick and deeply depressed. I mean, dangerously depressed. He begged to meet me. He and his wife are at their wits' end. In tears, he said, can you meet me and my son this week? Let's get together on Thursday night. And we got together on Thursday night. What did I say to him? Where did I take him? I took him and his son to Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I'm gentle and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul. That's God. God said to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. David's most popular song said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He'll always forgive me and restore me. He's gentle and lowly to those weighed down. But that does not mean he is weak and inoffensive. 8 verses before he said those words, he said to the towns of Chorazin and Capernaum, who refused to believe despite his miracles, woe to you, Capernaum! Woe, Chorazin! Literally, go to hell! He's gentle with those who are weak and needy. He is firm and confronting with the arrogant and loveless and those who refuse, despite all the evidence, refuse to believe. And the gentle God gives birth to gentle Christians. When you look at the New Testament, it's striking how often gentleness appears in tandem with humility. I said last week, I think there are more than just 9 fruits. There are many more. I said, where's humility in this list? Well, here it is, I think. In gentleness. Gentleness is, if you like, the public face of humility. 2 Corinthians 10:1. By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. The humble man or woman of God knows he or she is a cripple. Let me say, I think for most folk, even many in church, that's very hard. Many people, even in church, are successful, admired, respected, done well in their careers, been great parents, won awards, decent citizens, and that's all good. That's all good. I think I'm a bit like that, if I can say that in humility. I've got 4 great kids. I've been a Bible college principal. I've won an award. I wrote the Christian Book of the Year. I'm a good citizen. That's all good. But here's the catch. At the same time, if I'm honest with myself, I have to admit, I'm a cripple. We're financially wealthy, spiritually bankrupt. Physically in good health, spiritually sick and dying. In the eyes of the world, respected, admired, liked, not an enemy anywhere. In the eyes of God, apart from Jesus, full of guilt and shame, and unworthy to enter his presence. Now, the truth is, you can be both, of course. Successful, respected, well off, and at the same time, weak and crippled. But for many, the former is an insuperable barrier to the latter. Because in the world's eyes, I'm so successful, I can't admit that apart from Christ, I'm a failure. And that's terrifying. Because Jesus said, the meek will inherit the earth. The one who's meek and humble will be gentle. Let me say 3 things about Christian humility. First, It's restorative. One time, the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus caught in adultery and said to him, come and join us and write her off, stone her, finish her. And he wouldn't. He forgave her and said, just don't do it again. Later in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew will quote Isaiah, who spoke of the Messiah, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. I've often spoken about one of my four kids, one of my daughters, who in her teenage years were having a tough time. She was depressed. She was sullen, incommunicative. To be frank, not always easy to love. I'd say each morning, good morning, I'd say, and she'd just walk on by, not even look at me. I found that hard and annoying. She was a bruised reed, a smoldering wick. Now, as a parent, there are two options. Option one is, two can play at that game. You ignore me? Well, I can ignore you. That's called the break the reed, snuff out the flame approach. The other approach is to be gentle and patient and in humility choose to be ignored and keep on loving. I chose the first approach. My wife chose the second. Today, that smoldering wick, because of her mum, is a fire ablaze with love for Jesus and other people. As a parent, a partner, a church member, a workmate, my work is to restore and refresh. The gentle person has a soft word for the angry person. The gentle person, I think, is probably more of a listener than a talker when people come to them to be heard. The gentle person sees not the person as they are now, but as they could be by God's grace in the future. It's restorative. Second, it's not inconsistent with boldness. Jesus could be forthright. The Paul who wrote in chapter 5 of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is patience, said in chapter 1 about those who preach another gospel, let you be accursed. Go to hell. There's a time when the gentleman or woman will speak out boldly and strongly. Look, I can put up with dull sermons. I guess I preach a few. I can put up with uninspiring sermons. I can put up with vapid, innocuous, vague sermons, or those that are just stories. I can put up with that. But I can't put up with sermons that are lies, that teach doctrines or lifestyles that, if believed or followed, will take people on the road to destruction. At that point, the gentle pastor will become a roaring lion. Thirdly, gentleness should be shown to all. Paul wrote to Titus, always be gentle toward everyone. It's not very PC today to describe an audience as ladies and gentlemen. But I still like it. This week I Googled gentleman. What's a gentleman? It said, a gentleman is courteous, polite, and respectful. He says please and thank you. his turn, waits his turn in line, and treats others as they wish to be treated. He is an equitable conversation partner and displays good table manners and dining etiquette. I think that's largely Christian. Well, maybe not the table manners and dining etiquette, but that's largely Christian. Then ask the question, do girls like gentlemen? Well, if you're single here this morning, listen up. Quote, gentlemen make their women feel special. Everyone likes to feel special, especially women. Well, I think everyone likes to feel special because they are special, made in the image of God, loved by God. So the gentle person makes you feel special. One of the nicest things you can say about a person is that when you're talking with them in a room of people, it's like you're the only person in the room. I remember years ago at a meeting with people, I was talking to a guy, his name was Martin. I've never forgotten it. We began a conversation, and from the moment we began, his eyes scanned the room for someone more, well, interesting or famous to talk to than me. And he soon ended the conversation. I don't think that was very gentlemanly. Now, like Jesus, I want to be gentle with each and every person I meet and treat them with respect and kindness. Like when he met a woman at a well who'd been married 5 times. Like when he met a blind beggar called Bartimaeus, who the crowds tried to shut up when he called out to Jesus. Like when he met small children who they tried to drive away when their parents brought them to Jesus to bless them. Like when he met a dying thief on a cross and promised him rest for his soul forever in paradise. How would you like someone to describe you in one word? How would you describe yourself in one word? If they could put on your tombstone one word to describe you, what would you like it to be? In loving memory of Michael Rater, a gentle man. I'll settle for that. Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you'll fill us, each one here today, with the spirit of gentleness. That we might love what you love and hate what you hate. That we might treat people as those loved by you and made in your image, with kindness and respect, for their salvation and for your glory. Amen.
On behalf of the elders of the Scots Church, I say to you, if you love Jesus, then this table is set for you and you are welcome at it. Now, just a bit of housekeeping. When you receive the bread and the wine, please wait so that we can all eat and then drink together as the one body of Christ, in harmony and fellowship with each other. And I just should note that when I say wine, it's actually non-alcoholic grape juice. And if you have a gluten intolerance, there is also the option to let the bread pass by and take one of the sealed communion cups from the wine tray, because that has a gluten-free wafer at the top. Hear the words of Jesus from John's Gospel. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Brothers and sisters, if you too have looked on the Son and believe in him, then partaking in the Holy Sacrament is to partake in the most wholesome and sustaining of spiritual food. Indeed, it is food for your soul. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather as your adopted children to remember once more what you have granted us through your gift of faith and the willing sacrifice of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have granted us redemption. You have forgiven our sin and freed us from its tyranny in our lives. You have taken us to yourself as your people, and you have given each of us a role to play as your instruments in the world. Bless these gifts of bread and wine to us, Father God, and in the power of your Holy Spirit, transport us for a few brief moments to commune together at the wedding feast of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And in his precious name, we pray. Amen. We do this in obedience to Christ's example and command. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." So take, eat, and do this in remembrance of him. And in the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." This cup is a sign of the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink it in remembrance of him. Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of him. Drink in remembrance of him. Brothers and sisters, Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this sacrament and all that it signifies. May our participation in it enliven our faith, draw us closer to you, and strengthen our bonds of love with each other as a people of yours. Give us the wisdom, the courage, the stamina, and the compassion and gentleness to follow faithfully in our Saviour's footsteps all the days of our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The communion hymn, our final hymn this morning, "Shout for joy, the Lord has let us feast." Can stay for a cuppa and a chat afterwards, and or a barista made coffee at the back of the church. Now the benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever.